This week is Parashas Vo'era. It's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Shavat. Okay. Now let's begin with something that I find very interesting. What happened on Aleph Shvat? So let me read you a pasuk. Aleph Shvat, tomorrow, tonight, we begin Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Beginning of Chumash Devarim. Eila Hadvarim. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Shvat.
Tonight.
Mirzashem, tonight, Shabbos Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Ato Yotzarto, Yalav Yavo, Tu Sifrei Torah. It's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Eila Hadvarim. I'm reading you from Parashas Devarim. Eila Hadvarim, Asher Dibe Moshe El Kol Yisrael Be'eva Hayardin, Ba'midbar, Ba'arava, Mol Suf, Be'in Porno, Be'in Teufel, Vlom, Chasur Dizav, Vayihi, Be'arboim, Shana, it was in the 40th year. Okay, 40 years since the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Be'ashtei Osro Chodesh, in the 11th month, Be'echod LaChodesh, on the first day of the month, Diber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael. What is the 11th month? Shvat. The 12th month is Adar. The first month is Nisan, the 12th month is Adar, the 11th month is Shvat. Moshe Rabbeinu, he spoke, Diber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, Kichol Asher Tziva Hashem. This is in Devarim, Chumash Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. Diber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, Kichol Asher Tziva Hashem, Oisai Alehem. This is Moshe Rabbeinu began Mishneh Torah on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So tonight, when we come, tomorrow, when we come to Rosh Chodesh Shvat, it's the anniversary of Moshe Rabbeinu presenting Klal Yisrael with Chumash Devarim. He reviewed for Klal Yisrael the entire Torah right before he died. It's a pretty big accomplishment to review the entire Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula, to present it with all of the Chidushim, Mishneh Torah. You have to be a good speaker. You have to have a koyach adibur in order to present, to review the entire Torah. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say in this week's parasha? Parasha Shmos, Va'ani Aral Sefosayim. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Ve'era made his last desperate plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not an Ish Devarim. And last week in Parashas Shmos, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you want to recruit me? I have a brother, Aaron. Loi Ish Devarim Anoichi. I'm not a talker. Go to Aaron. And this went on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept on telling him, no, it's going to be you, over and over. And finally, in this week's parasha, Parashas Ve'era, in the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu makes one more last desperate attempt. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to speak, it's not possible. V'yom Moshe l'fnei Hashem, hein ani aral sefasayim v'eich yishma elai paro. And Hashem says, no, at kan, you're going to go, you're going to speak. And indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu finally accepts upon himself the mission. Vayas Moshe Yaron Kasher Tziva Hashem Oysam Kenosu. Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the mission to be the Ish HaMedaber. So it's a pella. It's an incredible thing that tomorrow, on the same day, we have the full cycle. On the one hand, we have Moshe Rabbeinu telling Hashem, begging Hashem, Lo Ish Devarim Anoichi Ani Aral Sefosayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu finally accepts. And what is the anniversary? What is tomorrow? Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the anniversary of Hoyil Moshe Be'er Eskol HaTorah Hazos. So it's something you never know. A person should never think you can't accomplish, you can't do. Moshe Rabbeinu begged. I'm not an aral sifosayim. My lips don't work. I'm a kavat peh. Aral sifosayim. And yet tomorrow, Hoyil Moshe Be'er Eskol HaTorah Hazos, the anniversary of Mishneh Torah is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, come full cycle on one Shabbos. It's an incredible Musar Haskel. A person should never think that he can't accomplish, cannot do. Look what this one day we have tomorrow, the full cycle, the full scope, the spectrum from one end to another end. Okay, now that we're talking about this idea of Ani Arel Asif Asayim, this Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if Klal Yisrael cannot, is not going to listen to me, how could it possibly be, Vayim Moshe Levnei Hashem, Hein Ani Arel Asif Asayim, Ve'ech Yishma Eli Paro, Chazal learned from this, this is one of the 10 Kal V'Chomers in the Torah. Well, it really goes back. Really goes back to the pasuk before. Let me go back over here where it says of Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe leimor boy daber el Paro melech Mitzrayim vishalach es bnei Yisrael me'ar. So Vayadaber Moshe lefnei Hashem heina bnei Yisrael lo shamu elai. If bnei Yisrael do not listen to me when I come to them and I tell them that I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim, b'koy pakadati, they're not going to listen to me. V'eich yishmaeni faro. How could it be the Paro will listen to me? V'ani aral sefasayim Chazal tell us that this is one of the 10 Kal V'Chomers in Tanakh. And Tanakh, if you study the entire Tanakh, there are exactly 10 times where one of the Ishei HaTanakh makes a Kal V'Chomer, and this is one of them. If the Jewish people are not willing to believe in my mission, certainly Paro will not listen to me when I tell him in your name to free the Jewish people. All the Mepharshim ask, what kind of Kal V'Chomer is this? The reason why the Jewish people do not listen to Moshe Rabbeinu is because they're suffering. Because they are, it says the first in the pasuk, Loshamol Moshe mikoytzer ruach ume avoda kasha. So it's explicit why they're not listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Paro was not exactly suffering. Paro was doing very well. So what kind of Kal V'Chomer? Exactly. So what kind of Kal V'Chomer? How could this be one of the 10 Kal V'Chomers? So there are many, many answers. But one of the answers that I find most compelling and something to learn from is that there's a yesod, there's something, a metaphysical yesod. If you are a representative of a group of people, you cannot be better than the mishalech, than those who send you. The people who send a messenger empower the messenger. They give him the koyach, they give him the power to represent them. Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm only as good as the people who send me. And the people who send me aren't interested, no matter how good I am, no matter how many signs I will show power, no matter how talented I am, I'll never be matzliach. Even though I'll be derech hateva, everything is working in my favor, but there's a koyach in this world. You are no better than the ones who you represent. I once heard a person describing a very, very difficult political situation where he represented a group of people, and at the end was he turned away from his he left his post, and people interviewed him, why'd you leave your post? So he said, the people who I represent don't want me to be successful. You cannot be matzliach, you cannot succeed if the people who send you don't really believe in the cause. And from that, the Musar Haskell is that if you do have a person who represents you, you have to want him to succeed. Like I mentioned, I told you that story about when Obama was elected, President-elect Obama, and he was in the White House, and President Bush invited him right after a very bitter and ugly election, a whole season of politics. And Bush, there was a meeting of all of the past living presidents, Bush and Clinton and Bush Senior and Carter, and they all said and obviously not all of them were the biggest friends of Obama. And Bush said to Obama on television, he says, we have one thing in common. Now that the election is over, we want you to succeed. If you will succeed, it will be good for the country, it will be good for everyone. Put all of the differences aside, we want you to be matzliach. That's the Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer is, it's true, Paro lives a life of luxury, and the Jewish people, they suffer. But the bottom line is, the people that I represent don't believe in the mission. If they don't believe in me, then there's no way I can succeed. And the Musar Haskell is, a person shouldn't try to save the world for a world that's not interested in being saved. And if a person does appoint someone to represent him, whether it's a president, whether it's a shul, you have a person who represents a committee, whether it's a rabbi, you have to want him to succeed. If you don't want him to succeed, then he will not have the power to succeed. And that is the Kal V'Chomer. If the Jewish people don't believe in the cause, It's not going to work. Even you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, with all of the Mavsim, the Oisim Mavsim, it's not going to succeed. Okay, now let me tell you another idea. This idea is a little bit controversial. It could be what I'm saying is total nonsense. Probably is. But let me just tell it to you anyway, because it made an impression on me. We have over here this idea, a very difficult idea, which all the Mepharshim struggle, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened the heart of Paro. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be discouraged. I mean, you're going to go to Paro, you're going to go in signs, they're going to be Makos. It's not going to make any sense. Why in the world would such a person want to suffer? Let the Jews go. But I'm going to harden his heart. Let me see if I can find over here the Pasuk. V'lo yishma aleichem Paro. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. V'ani akshe eslev Paro. Half-lev of a fellow. All of our struggle. How could it possibly be the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away the bechira chofshes of a person to harden the heart of a person? V'hir be'si'es o'sasavi esmosabi eretz Mitzrayim. And when I harden his heart, I'm going to increase my signs and wonders in the land of Mitzrayim. And don't be discouraged, Moshe. V'lo yishma Aleichem Paro v'nosati es yodi b'mitzrayim v'yotzei si'es v'osai es ami v'neishom yeretz mitzrayim v'shvatim gedolem. Okay. Now Rashi explains what is happening over here. So there are very interesting words of Rashi. Let me read you very quickly. Vani aksha mi acha sher shia v'hisris kineg the after. Par has been so wicked. He is evil. And he has rebelled against me. V'golui l'fonai she'ein nachas ruach b'umos. And it is revealed before me that I have no pleasure in the nations. Lost a slave shalom lo shuv. I know that they will never do tshuva. Tovli, Hashem says, it's good for me, sheyiskashel libo, I shall harden his heart, or allow his heart to be hardened. L'man harbos bo oso sai vitakiru atem es givurosai. It's a very difficult Rashi. Rashi says, since I already know he's so wicked, and he'll never do tshuva, and he's hopeless, so I'm going to use him as an instrument in order that the Jews, the Klal Yisrael, the people who appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shall see the power, the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the Pshuta Shel Mikra. It's not for him, it's for Klal Yisrael. Let Klal Yisrael see the wonders that I can do in this world. I'm going to use Paro as a pawn, as an instrument, because he's hopeless. He's already gone to the extreme. Even though Al-Pi Derech HaTeva, he would, at this point, he suffers so much, his country is suffering so much, he would let the Jews go. I'm going to cause his heart to be hardened, that he should not go, so I should do all these miracles, and the Jewish people will see incredible miracles. Okay, this week I was reading in a magazine, and I came across something which I've read about in the past. It always interests me, and I never really paid much attention. I'm not exactly from the conspiracy theory people. You know, there are people out there that believe that that Osama bin Laden is still alive, and there are people that believe that Saddam is still alive, and there are people that believe that even Kennedy is still alive. He was never assassinated. What? Lincoln? I don't know. That's already a stretch, even for those. Okay, I'm not from that group of people. But over the years, I've always been very intrigued about whatever happened to Hitler. There are a lot of books. Did he really commit suicide with cyanide and shoot himself in the head in the bunker, in some bunker in somewhere? And the Russians then came and they burnt his body, and then they reinterred him, and so on. This whole long story. It's not so simple. It was never simple. Okay, it was never simple, and whatever. So there's a lot of research has been done recently. There's going to be a film. It's being made, and it's going to be presented in about a year from now with a lot of new evidence, a lot of new research from documents that have been declassified and so on and so forth, and interviews. And there's a lot of evidence that Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, escaped to Argentina. There is solid evidence. Okay, yes, no. Now, the person who's leading, I didn't pay much attention because I didn't think I would speak about this on Friday, but so I didn't remember all the names, all the details, just glanced through it. So the person, he spent a lot of time and money and research and putting this whole thing together, and he feels that he says, I'm not from those, from the people, the conspiracy theory people, but the evidence that he escaped to Argentina is just as good, if not better, than the evidence that he committed suicide in a bunker and his body was burnt. In fact, the skull that they the part of the skull of Hitler they've already shown with DNA is not his, it's from a young girl, and there's eyewitness testimony in Argentina, a maid who actually assisted him. There's a lot of whatever it is. So that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is they said to this person, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" There are still Holocaust survivors. As far as they're concerned, there's closure. He died, it's over. Saying that he went, he lived another 10, 15 years, whatever he lived in Argentina, he had a good life, he escaped, whatever happened to him. You're causing them tsar. You're causing them pain. Why spend all this effort to revisit this issue? So he says something which really I didn't think about much at the time, but when I was learning the parasha, it struck me. He said just the opposite. Hitler was such a Russia, such a wicked person. No, he died. It's impossible even to punish him in this world, even a mashu sheba mashu, for what he was responsible for. Impossible. But if he would have died, okay, he would have committed suicide, he was dead, his body was burnt, whatever happened. But if he would have lived, you know what that means? This is what he said. If he would have lived, if he would have escaped to Argentina, would have lived a couple of more years, he would have witnessed, he would have heard about the state of Israel. He says, there could be no greater torture for him to know that after everything that he did, the state of Israel was created. And it struck me learning this parasha, Vayechaber Hashem es lev Paro. Paro should have died during the ten makos. Paro was the Bukhar. Many Mitzrim died. They went like flies throughout the ten makos. And then at some point in time, the suffering should have been so great where he should have let the Jews go, just get out of here, leave. The people should have rebelled. No, but Vayechaber Hashem es lev Paro. So from the perspective of the Jews, why is Hashem doing this? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing him to live? We don't understand this. We don't understand. And Hashem says to Moshe, he's hopeless. There's no point. I'm going to use him as an instrument that, for reasons that you don't understand, in order that Klal Yisrael should come to appreciate the oisoisumovsim that I do in this world. And to a certain degree, I think it's very true what this person said about Hitler, is that for him to die, even to have a torturous death, okay, it's not gonna atone for his sins, not even a mashu sheba mashu. But for us, think about us, for us, Klal Yisrael, to know that this wicked man who devoted his entire life to destroy us would live to see Klal Yisrael rebuild itself and to form a state in Eretz Yisrael. For us, forget about him. It's mamash what it says here in the pasuk. Hashem says, I'm going to harden his heart, I'm going to do something which you don't understand, leman, to increase oso sumovsai the Eretz Mitzrayim. There's something to it. Forget about him. Us knowing that this evil man who tried to destroy us would have to come and live and see the day where there's an Eretz Yisrael. For us, that's an incredible oath from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he controls the world. The person who tried his hardest would, in this most bizarre, miraculous way almost, survive to go to Argentina and to live out a life in hiding for another 10 years until approximately, I think maybe up to 1955 to live. That's really the essence of Vayechaber Hashem Eslev Paro. Okay, I thought that was an idea I wanted to share with you. Now, let's go to another idea in this week's parasha. Let's discuss briefly the meaning of Borot. We have here in this week's parasha, Hashem says to Paro, no, before we go to Borot, I'm going to want to so first a very short idea of the Oroif. One of the makos in the parasha is the wild animals. Hashem says, I'm going to send the wild animals. I must find the pasuk for this idea. Excuse me here for a second. Here it is. Okay, let's go to Perek Ches Pasik Tezayin. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Hashkem Baboike Vesasil Lufnei Faro Hinei Yotze Hamoima. And tell him, Pasuk goes on, there's going to be ki im encha mishalech esamihni mashtich b'chol uvavadecha uvavamcha uvavotecha es he'oroif. The wild animals. All the animals are going to come and torture and terrorize the people. Molu v'bote mitzrayim es haroif v'gam hodam ha'shohim olecha. And then Hashem says, v'hifle si b'yoyim ha'chu. I'm going to differentiate b'yoyim ha'chu es eretz goyishen asher ami yoyim olecha levilti ha'yosham haroif l'man teda ki ani Hashem b'kerev aretz v'samti fidus. Now what does it mean fidus? So the Targum translates fidus Purkan. There's going to be salvation. They will be spared. It means differentiation, but the way the Targum translates, he translates the word pidus different than the word vihiflesi. He translates the word pidus to mean there's going to be salvation. Pidus, bein ami uvein amech. Your nation will suffer, but Klal Yisrael will be redeemed, will be salvation. And then it goes on to say, l'mochor yiyeho oisazeh. The reason why I'm telling you the word I'm about to tell you is because we've been learning the Aleph Beis, and I got developed a chavivus for the oisias of the Aleph Beis. And here there's a beautiful Balaturim. The Balaturim says that in Tanakh, the word pidus appears exactly three times. It appears once in Pasuk Yotes, the Samti Fidus, which means a salvation. The salvation will be that there will be a differentiation between the Klal Yisrael and Umos Olam. And the Bala term here on the Pasuk says, Gimel B'Mesora. The Samti Fidus, the other two times is in Pidus Sholach La'amo, redemption Hashem sent to his nation. And another pasuk is V'harbei imo fidus. And the Baal HaTurim says those other times that it says pidus shalach la'am, Hashem will send redemption to his nation, which refers to the time of Mashiach, and V'harbei imo fidus, which also refers to the time of Mashiach, are written mole. There is a vav, pei, dalid, vav, saf. But the word Fidus that's written here in Pasuk Yitest Now Parsha is written Choser. There is no Vav between the Dal and the Sof. Fidus is a Shurok. So the Baal HaTurim just says you should be aware there are three times we have the word Fidus. Twice it's Mole and once it is Choser. The Darshanim pick up on this Baal HaTurim and they explain why indeed is this Fidus Choser. Because this was not the ultimate Geula. Pakot Pakadati, this was only a temporary Geula. We left Mitzrayim after 210 years, but we had to suffer the Golus of Bavel, the Golus of Parasumodai, the Golus of Yavan, the Golus of Edom. So it's only a partial, it's in a reference that everything that's happening over here in Egypt, in this, even though we're referring specifically to the Malka of Oroif, is a, it's only going to be a temporary salvation. The ultimate salvation will occur in Yemos HaMashiach, and therefore the other two times that it says Pidus refers to the times of Mashiach, there it's Mole, because that salvation will be complete. Mole, every letter will be in that word, that will be complete. But this salvation is only partial. Okay, so we've got already two steps. We have the Baal HaTurim. All the Baal HaTurim says there's three times Pidus, one here, two times elsewhere. This one is Chosed, the other two times it is Mole. Now we have the Darshanim. Darshanim say, what's the significance? Because the other two times will be the ultimate Geula. But this is only a temporary Geula. After Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's more Golus yet to come. Now we go to the third step. The Darshanim, on top of the Darshanim say, that's what the Pasuk means at the end. The Pasuk says, L'mochar yihiyeho ois hazeh. L'mochar yesh mochar la'achar zman. What's the ois? The ois is the missing vav. It's a beautiful drush, if you like the Aleph Beis. The Samti Fidus ben ami uvein amecha. I will set salvation between my nation and your nation. I will redeem the Jewish people. But the Fidus is choser. The Vav is missing. Where is the missing Vav? Oh, you know why it's missing? Because it's not going to be the ultimate salvation. When will the Vav return? L'machor yihyeh ha'ois hazeh. Yesh mochor li'achar zman. When Mashiach will come, then you'll be zocher to v'harbe imo fidus. That's when the ois, the Vav, will come. Ois simply means the sign. The sign of the oroi will come tomorrow. But it's a little Jewish that the Vav that's missing will come tomorrow. Okay, I thought you would like that. I guess not. Let's go. What?
The problem that I have.
Yeah, yes. Bichol doesn't like it.
You could say,
for the record.
You could say that
Yeah.
About the other salvation.
Yes.
But Mitzrayim is supposed to be the prototype.
The prototype. But
the ultimate.
There are many layers. It's the prototype, but it's still not the ultimate of salvation. Moshe told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlach Nabi Atishlach. You don't need more than this. Hashem told Moshe to Hashem, Shlach Nabi Atishlach, which Chazal Darshan, is this going to be the ultimate gula or not? Hashem says no. So Hashem says, Eibazeh, I don't want. So go send Eliyahu. I don't want to be involved. Shlach Nabi Atishlach, Eliyahu will be the ultimate gula. This is only a temporary gula. Now let's come to the Ma'amak of Borat. Towards the end of the parasha, we come to the inyan of Yirah Shamayim. Okay, there are different lists, so we have to go in stages. We have here in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Gimel Vayom Hashem Moshe Hashkem Aboyke Vitzel Nifaro and tell Paro there's going to be Mark of Borot Ki Bapam Hazos Ani Shaleach Es Kol Magefoy Sai El Libicha. I will send all of my Magefos, my punishment will come to your heart. Uva Vodecho Uvi Amecho Bavur Tedaki. Then the pasuk goes on to say, but towards the end of the section, Hayorei Estevar Hashem, those that feared Hashem may avdei Faro, Heinis Es Avodov Vies Megneu El Habotim. They gathered in their slaves and their servant and their property into the homes. The Asher Loi Som Libo El Devar Hashem Vayazov Es Avodov Yes Megneu Basodeh. They let, they abandon their slaves and their possessions in the field. So first of all, before we go further, many Mefarshim, the commentators say exactly the same thing. What is Yirah Shamayim? Ask the average person. Define for me the meaning of fearing Hashem. Yirah Shamayim. So I tell you, shuckle, you bang your head into the wall, right? You stand by the wall and you shuckle and you do all the mitzvahs, you're observant and you're meticulous in doing every single mitzvah. You learn as much as you can and you're extremely honest. You're always afraid that a bolt of lightning is going to come out of heaven and going to strike you down for making a little mistake. That's how many would tell you, that's what Yorei Shamayim. Shabbos, your hands shake. You're afraid your hands may chas v'sholmi mechalol Shabbos. Your hands already shaking from chatzos. I heard about a Hasidish Rebbe on Erev Shabbos already at 12 o'clock. His hands were shaking because he was afraid, who knows, it will come Shabbos. Maybe chas v'sholmi mechalol Shabbos. This is Yirah Shamayim. Okay, this is a very, very high level of Yirah Shamayim, but that's not what it says here in the Pasuk. When the Pasuk here defines Yirah Shamayim, it says the Egyptians, this Makah Bar was one of the most unique Makos in that they were given a chance to dodge the Makkah. Hashem said, I'm sending down Barat. It wasn't like Dam Tzardei Akinim Oroiv Dever Shchin. There was no choice. Mm-hmm. That's it, you suffered. There was no escape. That's it. That's the way it is. Barat, just don't go outside. If you don't go outside, you won't be hit. You have animals, you have slaves, tell them to come inside. But if you don't fear Hashem, if you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not afraid that Hashem is really going to carry out His threat, then you ignore the words of Hashem. The pasuk explicitly says, Hayorei, it's Devar Hashem. Those that heard what Moshe had to say, and they were afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi'avdei Faro, Heinis Es Avoda, V'yes Megneu, El Habotim, they were spared. The people who had Yirah Shamayim in Egypt were spared the Makah Barat. V'asher Loi Som Libo, El Devar Hashem. What's the opposite of Yirah Shamayim? Someone who's not a Yorei Shamayim? I just don't pay attention. I don't pay attention. Va'asher lo yisam libo el devar Hashem va'yazoyv es avodav yes megneir basodeh. From here we learn, you know what Yirah Shamayim means? Pay attention. Yirah Shamayim does not necessarily mean do Hashem's will. Many people have nisyonos that are beyond their control. They have desires, they have taivos, and they can't control themselves. Okay, so does that mean they're not Yorei Shamayim? No. To be in the category of a Yorei Shamayim, all you have to be is in the category of Som Libo El Devar Hashem. Pay attention. Things are always happening. Things, if a person pays attention, he can sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind every event in this world. That is all that is required to fit into the Torah's description of a Yorei Shamayim. HaYorei Devar Hashem? He paid attention, he took his objects So and you would expect the pasuk to say, "Va'asher lo yoreid devar Hashem," a person that did not fear Hashem. It's not what it says. "Va'asher lo sam libo." The equivalent of not fearing Hashem is just not to pay attention. If you live in this world with open eyes and you do the best you can, even though realizing that you have faults and you things that you can't control, that's still a very high madrega of some libo el devar Hashem. Okay, now based upon that, so we learn over the Makabarud is it has everything what to do with Yirah Shemayim. Now there's something else very unique about that, this makkah, that this is the only makkah that was predicted with the ultimate precision. When Moshe comes to Paro, he tells him that when will the makkah come? Bayom Hashem el Moshe, Hashkem baboker, tel pakoyim Hashem, shlachami ki bapam hazos. Okay, he goes out to Paro, and Hinni Mamter Koes Mochar, Pasuk Yud Ches. A very unique expression does not appear by any other makam. Moshe says to Paro, Koes Mochar. At exactly this moment tomorrow, the makam of Barod will begin. Let me read you the words of Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches, Koes Mochar, Koes Hazos Lomochar, Sorat Lo Sarita Bekosel. Moshe Rabbeinu etched a mark in the wall, and he said to Paro, "L'mochar kishetagia chama lekan, when the sun will shine on this mark, yered habara, the bard will descend." Moshe, I guess, is an ancient sundial. Moshe predicted the exact second when Makkah bard will begin. There's only one other place in the Tanakh where we have this idea, this concept of where an event was predicted with the ultimate precision of making a mark in the wall when the sun will come to this mark, the shade, the sun, however the sundial works, an event will begin. And that was the birth of Yitzchak. Right. Yitzchak, the Malach, a year later, the Malach comes to Avram, and he says to Avram and to Sarah that next year it was Pesach. They were bringing the Karm Pesach, Matzah, the whole story, exactly a year from now, and the Malach etched a mark on the wall when the sun will return to this location a year from now. At that moment, Yitzchak will be born. So what's the significance? Why is it that only with regard to the birth of Yitzchak and with regard to the Mark of Barad was a mark etched on the wall to predict the precise moment? It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't wait. Hashem is yearning. When you yearn for something, you count down the seconds, you count down the days, the moments until the event occurs. Why these two things? So the answer is very simple. Because these are the two things which represent Yirah Shamayim. The whole essence of Yitzchak Avinu is Yirah. Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Yirah, Yaakov is Emes, is the composite of Yirah and Chesed. Yitzchak was the Pachad Yitzchak. Yaakov is swore by his father. He called his father Pachad Yitzchak. The whole essence of Yitzchak was fear. Vayechrad Yitzchak charodo gedola ad ma'ot. He was offered as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ato yodati ki yirei lo kimato. It was said to Avram Avinu, but it was said concerning Yitzchak that allowed himself to be offered as a carbon. The whole essence of Yitzchak is Yirah Shamayim. The Makkah of Barad was a test of Yirah Shamayim. I'm giving you a makkah, and every single citizen in Egypt will be able to express his Yirah Shamayim. If he's a Yorei Shamayim, he will take in his animals, he will take in his slaves. If he's not a Yorei Shamayim, I don't care if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't believe you, you're a liar, I don't care, I'm going to leave my animals outside. The makkah of Barad was a test of Yirah Shamayim. Chazal tell us, Ein loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela Yirah Shamayim Bulvad. The only more pasuk in the Torah, more Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Meimach Kiyim Liyire Oso. The only thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in this world is Yirah Shamayim. Hashem has in Shamayim an oitzer of expressions of neshamos that have accomplished Yirah Shamayim. It is the most chavif thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, it is precisely these two things that are predicted with precision to the moment of the day, the etch on the wall, the birth of Yitzchak, who will bring, teach the world the Yirah Shamayim in its fullest sense, and the Makkah of Barad, which will give every single Egyptian the opportunity to express the Yirah Shamayim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why the Makkah is called as Kol Magefosai El Libuch. Yirah Shamayim is always described as something Davar Hamoser Leliba Shel Adam. The Gemara talks about tcheles. You could have tcheles and kol ilan. You talk about, I don't remember all the examples, but every time we have an example of mishkolos, false weights, false measures, dover hamoser liliboy shel adam nemar bo v'yareisa me'elokecha. Every time you have in the Torah v'yareisa me'elokecha, Rashi says, something which no one knows about, no one is watching, there are no cameras, you're all alone, and it's moser liliboy shel to your heart to make that decision. That's where the Torah says v'yareisa me'elokecha. This makkah, ki bapam hazos ani shalech es kol magefosai el libcha. It's going to be your decision. Your decision of Yirah Shamayim. Yirah Shamayim, Hashem says, is so chaviv to me, I can't wait for this. I'm going to mark an etch in the wall. Just like we marked an etch in the wall for the birth of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is the one who excelled and taught the world what it means to be a Yirah Shamayim. That's what we have over here, the significance of Makkos Barad, Kinei Kol HaMakkos, Yirah Shamayim, and El Libcha. And the idea of lo yisamli b'el dvar Hashem v'yazev yazev es avodo ves meir basode. Okay, now let me go to another idea. Okay. This is a short idea. We're out of time. A short idea is that we have here in this week's parasha of the Tzvardeya. This is not a complaint. This is a raw idea which I give for you to think about. We have the Tzvardeya. One of the makos is the mak of Tzvardeya. That's one of the Tzvardeya. Frogs. Many people will tell you that it's not frogs, they're crocodiles. Rabbi Mayevsky, we had a discussion about this, that it's crocodiles. I believe you go to Living Torah Museum in Borough Park, they have an exhibit where they try to prove that a tzvardeya is not a frog, it's a crocodile. That changes everything. If anyone have ever seen a documentary on crocodiles, they are the most terrifying creatures in the world. They're like dinosaurs. They're worse than dinosaurs. They can. It's a terror to see what a crocodile can do. It is a little bit difficult because it says they're going to come into your stomach, your house. So crocodiles are large. So what? Okay, so you have to, because it says it comes to your stomach. It says, is that what it says? One of them? They croak. Okay, but just to croak, the terror of hearing them croak, they can... It's horrifying to see what they can do. But one of the Chazal tell us that the crocodile gave up its life, was willing to, at least they went into the ovens. Uvisanu recha, Hashem commanded the crocodiles to enter the ovens. And by entering the ovens, they gave up their lives. They were, it's a question if they gave up their lives, the miracle happened, they survived, but they were Moiser Nefesh, in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from this, Hananya, Mishol, Va'azarya, we learned in Daniel, were inspired from the crocodiles, from the Tzvardeya. If Madoch, the Tzvardeya, which there's no promise of reward, Hashem did not give them the Torah. Hashem did not give the crocodiles, the Tzardeya, a promise of reward. Yet did HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and they gave up their lives to go into the ovens. So Alachas Kam V'Kama, we who are members of Klal Yisrael have an obligation to give up our lives to go in, be Mois Nefesh, and throw ourselves into the Kivshan Ha'esh. Okay, fine. Now, everyone I'm sure is very well aware of something called Perek Shira. Perek Shira is... We once discussed this in our Minhag section, is a collection of psukim that each creature in this world sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a legend that David HaMelech composed Perek Shira, goes back, and today it became very popular. It's a very good marketing, fundraising, and it's a good business today, Perek Shira. I'm sure you've all seen the Perek Shira, nice picture books, all different types, shapes and forms and sizes and colors. And every creature has a pasuk. Every part of creation has a pasuk. What is the pasuk for the crocodile, for the tzardeya? Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. It is the only creature that says something that's not a pasuk in Tanakh. The words Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed do not appear anywhere in Tanakh. This is Mesorah, it's a tradition. Yaakov Avinu said Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed when his children said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Moshe didn't say it in Chumash. It's not written in the Torah. It's a tradition. Tradition and has been incorporated into our tefillah. It's in the Midrashim. It's in the Gemara. But it's not. We have a tradition that this is what the Malachim say. But it's not written anywhere explicitly in Tanakh. And in Perek Shir, it's recorded that this is what the crocodile said. Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. That itself is very significant. Why Baruch Shem from the crocodile, from all of the creatures? But one thing I want to point out is, when did they say this? So the Medrash says they said this, when did they croak? When they were in the ovens. As they were being moiser nefesh, they were giving up their lives. They gave up their lives in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. To give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're giving up our lives. That's the moment when they recited this expression. Now, it's very interesting that we say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed after Chas V'Shalom making a bracha Levatola. A person says Hashem's name, Levatola. So we say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed to somehow to salvage salvage a shame that went levatala. When else do we say Baruch Shem? We say when we put on tefillin. That's a very interesting idea that we say we make a second bracha. We make the bracha those Ashkenazim. We make a bracha Asher Kedushan b'mitzvos v'tzvot al mitzvahs tefillin. You put on the tefillin and then you say Baruch Shem Kar Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. The similar reason is a very strange, very bizarre halacha that it could very well be that the bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin is a bracha levatala because we already made the bracha of lehaniach tefillin. So in order that should not be bracha levatala, so we say Baruch Shem. That's a stretch. Simply, on a much more simple level, when we say Baruch Shem Kar Malchuso, obviously it has something to do with tefillin. You say Baruch Shem, it must be, besides the reason, the symbol that it's coming with Baruch Levatala, there's something, those words Baruch Shem capture the essence of tefillin. What does it capture? Furthermore, why do we say Baruch Shem when we recite Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Then we say Baruch Shem. Why do we recite Baruch Shem? So I think if you learn from the crocodiles, the crocodiles at least open up a little bit of the deeper meaning of Baruch Shem. Baruch Shem is an expression that was said by the crocodiles when they gave up their lives. Tefillin are black. They're black. Black represents the concept of hester panim. The tefillin, the parashios, are doubly wrapped. If you open up the tefillin, the parashios are completely closed up in the batim. And if you go to a sofer, they'll show you that the batim, the parashios, are further wrapped. You don't just put the parashios into the compartments. You first take the parashios, which is the Shem Hashem, and you first wrap it. It's wrapped in cloth. You don't wrap it in cloth till a pasul. Has to be wrapped. It's wrapped and it's sewed, and then it's inserted into the batim, and the batim are sealed. Tefillin represent the idea, the Anochi Haster Aster Panai, concealment. Hashem's name are in the parashios. Hashem's name is in the tefillin, and it's doubly concealed. Haster Aster. It's doubly concealed. Where did tefillin go? The makor of where tefillin are positioned, the tefillin shel rosh, is known from Lo Sosimu Korcha Bein Einechem Lemes. The ultimate hester panim in this world is death. Death. And in ancient times, people who suffered death, family members, they gashed themselves. Hashem says, no. Lo Sosimu Korcha Bein Einechem Lemes. And instead, what do you do in that same exact makom where you would otherwise make a karcha b'enechem l'meis? On that makom you have faith. You put the tefillin. You put the tefillin in that same exact makom where otherwise a person would have gashed themselves. And what's the tefillin? It's the Shem Hashem doubly rapi onochi haster aster ponas. What do we learn from this? The whole idea of tefillin represents emunah. having emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the darkest of times. Where? What did the frogs? The frogs were the first were the creatures. They gave up their lives. Chazal give them highest praise. No expectation for reward. Zero. Not like us. When we give up our lives, there's expectation for reward. Not the frogs. And what do they say? Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Soli Olam Voed. When a person puts on tefillin, what is he doing? It's a very high level of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillin. And therefore, we emulate the frogs. We put on tefillin, we attempt to express emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the same place where a person who can't deal with death would gash themselves, we have emunah. The tefillin, the anochi, haster, aster, panai, emunah. And therefore, when you put on your tefillin, shel rosh, what do you say? Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Soli Olam Voed. Who said that? What does it remind us of? The frogs. The frogs, when do they say this? When they express perfect faith in HaKadosh Baruch. So there's definitely something over here, some very deep connection. Now to conclude, okay, we're out of time. I want to conclude with one thing. We have tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, as we started. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the second to last month of the year. We have an expression, Chazal, Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv. What does that mean? We once discussed this. So it means the last, right? The last is the most Chaviv. If the last, I once heard this from a person, his name was Chaver Chaim Victor. Zechet Salik Levracha. This is the father of Dr. Victor here from East 18th Street. Dr. Victor, his father, Chaver Chaim Victor, he once said, told me, he asked him, what does it mean, Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv? So I said, it means the last. It doesn't mean, if it meant the last, Chazal would have said, Acharoin Chaviv. The last. Chazal were very precise. Acharoin, Acharoin means the second to last. The last is the most choshev, is the most distinguished. But the second to last is the most chaviv. Because when you come down to the end, come to the end, there's a party. You can't appreciate what's happening. The second to last, the last moment of peace you have, coming to recognize you're coming towards the end. There's a riot to this. You go look, I'll show you Rashi. Kamat says Beferish. There's a Rashi in Parashas Vayetze. Kamat says Beferish. Achran, Achran chaviv means the second to last. Tomorrow, tonight, begins Chodesh Shvat. Chodesh Shvat is the 11th month of the year. It's the second to last. Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv. Tomorrow is beginning of the month that is the most Chaviv of the entire year. Acharoin, Acharoin. The 11th month. We mentioned when we started, it's the anniversary of Mishneh Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu began Mishneh Torah on the first day of the 11th month. What else? Why is it the most Chaviv of all the months? What happens in Shvat? Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. And in fact, what does the Mishnah say? That when is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? It is on Divrei Beishamai Aleph Shvat. Tomorrow is really Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. L'divrei Beis Hillel, we wait until the 15th day. He's very makel. It takes time for Jews, always are late. So he was, you know, the latecomers, Beis Hillel, but Beis Shammai, he's a stickler. He was always on time. It's Aleph Shvat. What is a tree? Ki ha'odam me'etz ha'sada. The whole union of trees represents man. The peros, there's a person's, what a person contributes to this world, his accomplishments, his children, his accomplishments, ma'toro mitz ma'isim tovim. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Chaviv Adam, shenivra b'tzelem. Man is chav, he was created b'tzelem. Chaviva yisera, a double chavivas. Achrena, a double chavivas. Shenoid aloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told men, was kind enough to tell us, Ki b'tzelem elokim nivra ha'adam. All of these things come together. What is Shvat? Shvat is the fourth month of the year. What's the fourth month? The fourth month since it's the second to last month, but it's also the fourth month since Rosh Hashanah, since Tishrei. How many months are there in the year? 12. 4 months is a third of the year. What is until you get to past the third, it's a miut. Once you get in halacha, anything less than a third is called a miut. Once you get past the third, it's already, you're no longer, you're already past the stage where you call the minority. You're already significant. This time of the year, Shvat, is already Kabbalah. It's Adam, and it's already since Hayoim Haras Olam, it's already more than a third. It really represents to a certain degree the Bar Mitzvah, where man already has come to a point in time where he's matured. There's a degree of maturity that occurs to man in Chodesh Shvat. So just to put everything together, to appreciate that tomorrow we begin Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Acharon Chaviv. The Chavivus is the month devoted to the Eitz HaSodeh. Aleph Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, Eitz HaSodeh is Adam. Adam is Chaviv, Niver B'Tzelem, Chaviva Yisera, Shneidas Lish Niver B'Tzelem. It's the, what's the Chavivus? What's the significance of the Chavivus? It's when man matures. The maturity, the spiritual maturity began on Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Haras Olam, the time of where we devote to Yirah Shemayim. It has an effect. It's a trickle-down effect. You put into motion a whole set of, a whole series of events, starting with Rosh Hashanah. How does it go from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, to Sukkot? Then you go through Chanukah, Shoivavim, so on and so forth, Shoivavim, so on and so forth. You come to a maturity in the year, a spiritual maturity. That is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We will be zoicha to a year of Yirah Shemayim.